What's good? Welcome back to the Pop Off Podcast, a conversation show about the conference championships of the NFL, NFC, AFC. We're breaking it the fuck down today. It's Friday. Boys are buzzing. We're feeling better than ever. We have the Chiefs in Baltimore against the Ravens. We have the Lions in San Francisco against the Niners. I'm Ralph Compiano. I'm your host, joined as always by my co-host, Mike Cerrone. 2 days away, Cerrone. They're the first game of the weekend. You got your Lamar jersey on. How are we feeling?
Dude, I'm feeling, I'm anxious, right? I probably won't sleep that well Saturday night. But I'm feeling confident, man. I really am. I'm weirdly almost more confident than I was against the Texans. I'm feeling great. I'm watching my team play football this late in January, which hasn't happened since, you know, we won it all against the 49ers years ago. I'm feeling confident. I'm feeling nervous as we should. But wow, man, I cannot wait for this fucking game to kick off. Should be the night game, by the way. We might talk about that later. But again, just don't put Lamar, not primetime, fine. Whatever, I get, it's the East Coast, West Coast. But yeah, man, I'm gonna be so excited for this, man. It's gonna be a great weekend.
And it's a weird time too. It's not the 3:30 afternoon slot. It's at 2 o'clock PM Central Time. So noon your time, 3 o'clock Eastern time. And the reason that it's not the night game is because they alternate each year, which is lame. Like, it's the two best quarterbacks in the league, the two faces of the league. Probably the first time the two faces of the league have both been black dudes. And maybe the history of the NFL, like, I'm going back, I'm thinking Tom Brady for 20 years was one of them, Peyton Manning, John Elway, Marino, Montana, Staubach. Like, this is the first time that it's been black dudes. And, I mean, they are generational quarterbacks, and both in totally different respects. So let's talk about them first, because they are the two most important people in this game. Let's talk about Lamar. He deserves it. He's going to win the MVP. What do you think the biggest thing for him has been as far as his evolution this year? Because he looks like a different quarterback in 2024 and 2023 than he has the last couple of years, right? The last couple of years, he's been great, no doubt, when he's been on the field. But a lot of the time, it's been weird things that have been bugging him, whether it's injuries, just getting the shits straight up, or a lack of supporting talent around him. What do you think is the biggest factor for him to come back and win his first MVP in four seasons?
That's a great question. I think the biggest difference that I saw this year was one, just a lot less turnovers. When you're at the quarterback position, you're not turning the ball over. Good things are going to happen. His MVP year, sloppy throws, dropping the ball. He'd make the electric plays, so you'd almost forget about those turnovers, but that's just what kept us from winning games. And then two, I've talked about this before, and this is where he's really evolved, and it's very Patty Mahomes like is when the play deteriorates, he's not just automatically giving up and just running down the field. Where when he does that, sometimes yes, you get 15, 20, 30, 40 yards, but when the play deteriorates and he has to scramble outside the pocket, he's still looking to pass almost exactly like what Mahomes does. And then we're just getting these, you know, and he's holding on it. He's looking to pass first instead of run first, which I think throughout the course of the season has opened up so much. Because then you got these talented receivers, which we finally have. They're bound to get open, because any DB playing coverage for 8, 9, I mean, sometimes with Lamar, it's 10 seconds. They are not, it's not fair. Like, they're going to get open. So him, when the play deteriorates and he escapes the pocket, still looking to pass first, I think that it was huge this year. And that with him, and that also paired with him not turning the ball over as much, not fumbling as much, not throwing sloppy interceptions. That with the defense paired with everything, I think that just, you know, propelled him to be in, I mean, elite status, just another fucking MVP. And honestly, this MVP is, you know, not as electric, but I want to say even just more impressive.
More impressive, but less surprising, right?
Yeah.
Because in 2019, he just bursted onto the scene, and he had the plays like the spin move against the Bengals.
Where the
like, how could you even think about giving this award to anybody else? I got a stat for you that I find fascinating. So You know, they went out and they got some new receivers this year. First year with Zay Flowers, Odell Beckham, Aguilar, and then Isaiah Likely coming onto the scene a little bit. Yards after the catch for his receivers. 2022, 971 yards after the catch. This year, 1,752. Yeah. Almost double the amount of yards after the catch. That is a credit to Lamar, but more a credit to Todd Monken. And you said, what, last week that you would name your firstborn child Todd if they won the Super Bowl this year? That's so a tough good. Life to live for that kid, man. Imagine going to kindergarten and being called Todd in like 2048. Yeah. It's going to be a real rough, rough season for him.
And by 2048, it's going to be a bunch of weird first names. It's going to be like summer August. Just a bunch of months.
I mean, I've got kids in our program, Asher, so many Bows, like you wouldn't believe it, Zane, Teddy, Anders, Atir, Devontae, like names all over the board. Riken, like I've never heard these names before in my life. Introduce a Todd into the mix. But like I was saying, Todd Monken, he has, you know, maintained the principles of Baltimore's offense that have been so successful over the last decade and a half. We're going to punch you in the fucking mouth with the run game. Right, that's still there. Oh, yeah. But what he's done is he's opened it up with the play action and the spread attack on offense, where I think that they're the most deadly offense left in the playoffs because they're the most versatile. They can beat you in 4 to 5 different ways, whether it's with bubble screens and jet sweeps in that short passing game, or they can attack over the top. They can give guys crossing routes and make them look stupid. The corner specifically with Zay Flowers, who is just ridiculous after the catch.
Even though
the
kid's a
fucking lightning bolt when he gets the ball. Odell's still able to take a slant to the house.
Dude, that's,
but then you got guys Gus Edwards and Justice Hill that can just pound it. And mm-hmm. I got to give a shout out to this guy. We haven't mentioned his name yet. But Tyler Linderbaum, center.
Yeah.
Go Hawks, University of Iowa, Pro Bowl center.
I love that guy.
His second year in the league, he's taken a huge step. And I think the center might be the most underrated position in football because you look at teams that are successful, the Chiefs with Creed Humphrey, the Eagles with Jason Kelsey last year, the Lions with Frank Ragnow. The center is like, you know, the quarterback's adjusting the actual play at the line of scrimmage. They're going to adjust from a run to a pass. You'll hear kill, 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 which usually means they're going to run the ball. But the center is the one that's adjusting the pass protection for the most part, especially when you have a quarterback like Lamar who's who's worried about so many other things. Linderbaum has to be not just talented physically, but also mentally as well.
That relationship has blossomed this year. Yeah, the only guy that touches the ball every play other than the quarterback. And you're right. He's been so good. And it's funny, I remember him coming out of Iowa because he just looks and sounds like an Iowa guy, like his last name and
you know,
this big cornbread motherfucker. He's probably from Iowa too. That wouldn't surprise me. But yeah, they've all been dogs, man. He's the heart of that.
I mean, they have one of the better offensive lines in the league, and that's been a credit to them. So that's one of the most fascinating matchups, I think, of the weekend is Chris Jones. Is he healthy enough? And if he is healthy enough, is he going to be able to get through Linderbaum? And then you have Ronnie Stanley on the outside and him matched up with guys like George Karlaftis on the edge for the Chiefs. And then I'm also fascinated by the Chiefs linebackers because we've talked so much about the Ravens linebackers this week and Queen and Roquan. But Bolton and Willie Gay are no joke. Like those are two stud backers and they have a good secondary as well. So that'll be something to look out for. But in reference to those linebackers, who's the linebacker of the offense? The tight ends. Mark Andrews. First week back for the Ravens. I thought that he was out for the season. Didn't he have like a fucking torn patella or something like that? So, what the fuck is this guy doing playing football?
Yeah, I know. He's just one of those guys that and I believe he's playing. I don't think it's 100% yet, but he's one of those guys that's an absolute – he's got diabetes, still play. Like he has, you know, everything against him. He's just one of those fucking – yeah, almost like a cornbread motherfucker, just a tough – big white dude with the buzz cut, just catching touchdowns. And he knows that I feel like there's a sense with him and it's weird too. Cause Likely's been playing out of his mind. Talk about a perfect next man up, do your job. This guy making one handed catches, running great routes, touchdown machines. He's mossing fucking people. But I think Mark kind of sees he's on I don't want to say later years of his career, right? But he's definitely thinking he maybe doesn't have that many more opportunities for AFC Championship, Super Bowl run, Super Bowl, you know, win. And I think he realizes like, hey, this is like a now or never type thing. Let me fucking muscle this one out, tough it up as I always do. I mean, with football players, I mean, you could, give him some morphine before the game. He's not going to feel it. I think he'll play. And even like, I know basketball players do this a lot of time. Even if he's just on the field, right? And no one knows this, but he's really, really hurting. He's still a huge decoy just to be out there because you have to respect a Mark Andrews. Even if he knows deep down, and just the coaches and the leg staff knows deep down that he's not really going to do anything this game, him out there being a decoy is huge for us because it adds a whole nother weapon. I mean, people forget about that. We lost J.K. Dobbins week one, Keaton Mitchell, Mark Andrews. This team is unreal right now, and we're usually have a pretty bad injury bug, but this year we're still missing some pieces, and we're getting the job done. But yeah, he's gonna fucking. I think he will be out there. I do believe so.
With that being said, the injury that he's coming off of, would you rather, let's say it's a critical snap, third and eight, you need to pick up the first down here, and you can only have one of them on the field. With the way that Likely has been playing, would you rather have Andrews out there or Likely?
Probably Mark.
That just break your fucking brain. I've never heard you go that quiet before. Oh my God.
Because
You're having like
that,
an existential crisis right now.
I think dude, because that's such a good question. I think I would still rather have Mark. Watching Ravens football for the past 10, 11 years, he's our third down guy. He is the guy I think Lamar trusts the most. Lamar even talked about a bunch. He's like, because when Mark went down, he's like, bro, that's my guy. That's my guy when I got in the league. Like, that's been my guy the whole time. He's just, I mean, some players just get it done and some players just don't. And Mark Andrews has always been that guy that just gets it done, just somehow makes the catch. Almost like Anquan Boldin for us years ago. Like, he's just that guy. Likely out of his mind, playing great. But yeah, give me, I'd love to have Marky Mark back in there, just fucking tearing it up, causing chaos. I love that.
One line that I really like for the Ravens offense right here is if you're looking at the player props on FanDuel, you look at the receiving props. Odell Beckham Jr., his over-under for receiving yards for the entire game is only 22 and a half yards. Now you're going to look at some of these yardage props and you're going to be like, what the fuck? Why are they all so low? I think it's fair to have a lot of them that low because this is a spread the ball offense. You never know who's going to be the dominant target. Probably not a lot of Ravens receivers with over 100 yards this year because they like to spread the wealth, right?
Always
But
there, yeah.
Odell is a guy that shows up in these big
I was going
games.
to
If you
say exactly that.
rewind a couple of years to the Super Bowl, that Rams game against the Bengals, the first one with a touchdown, then he tears his ACL, but he shows up under the bright lights. And I think that the Chiefs are going to divert a lot of attention, not just to Zay Flowers, but also to keeping their eyes on Lamar and preventing him from
Ball of a
scrambling
spy for
and
sure.
then trying to make sure that that run game. I mean, Odell could take a screen twice and pick up 23 yards. I'm
Yeah,
honestly shocked that it's only 22 and a half, especially when he's a big global name like Odell.
I've looked at you're exactly right. The Ravens receivers props all year have been very low because there's a lot of mouths to feed. We still love to run it. Lamar, last game he had 100 yards rushing. Lamar's usually our lead rusher. But yeah, I like that a lot because oh, you're right. Odell shines under big moments. A lot of people shy away from those big games, those big moments. Lamar doesn't. Odell doesn't. He's known to make those big catches, and you're right. One simple slant could easily go for over that. Never mind the whole game. Yeah, like we were just talking about before, it started. Odell's still a dog. He's taken a couple slants to the house this season, just like that stereotypical. I remember him on the Giants, man. He even tore us up a couple of games. You hit Odell on a slant and he has the right angle on the safety, he's gone. He's still old, but he is gone to where the safety's there, but it's just all about angles and football. And those plays that I'm talking about. So yeah, over 20, that's very juicy. Cause that very well could just be one catch.
And then when you look at the rushing props for this game, Lamar is actually the leader in the over-unders. You have
Yeah.
Pacheco at 63 and a half, Gus at 43 and a half, Justice Hill at 32 and a half, Mahomes at 26 and a half, and
Was at
Lamar at
66?
66 and a half.
That's
It's not
first.
shocking, right?
No,
Like
it's not. That's
because
why he's
they
the
do the
MVP.
design runs for him. Right. Yeah. And it's like, you know, he is, you know, you look at his passing stats and they don't blow you away necessarily. You know, it's 3,000 yards or whatever, 26 touchdowns and only six or seven picks, whatever it is. But it's the rush. It's the rushing component. And we talked about it earlier, but the biggest difference with him this year is that he just kills you with efficiency. The Ravens are a team that they want to chew the clock up. There's a reason that this game, the total for this game is over under 44 and a half. No offense to both of these offenses. I think they're both stellar offenses, but I think the defenses keep this under 44 and a half. I am a gambling man. I'm probably going to take under 44 and a half. And I think that it's a game where, I mean, you look at the Ravens Texans game last week, it ended up being 34 to 10. That's under 44 and a half. And the Ravens scored 34 in that game. Now, are they going to score 34 against this Chiefs defense? I'm not sure that's as much their focus. I think that they, in a dream world for them, they would love to win this game 21-3. That's kind of Harbaugh's ideal game, right? And that's what Lamar would like to see. Three touchdowns for two in the air and one on the ground. That's what he wants, right? And then the defense, they want to get stops on Mahomes.
Yep.
Is there another prop that you see right here that you kind of like? Because let's look at the anytime touchdowns on the Ravens side of the ball.
Yeah, I would like,
you know, Lamar got in twice last week on the ground, threw for two. Let's take a look at the anytime touchdowns right here. Who do you like?
I like yeah, it's funny. I mean, we talked about it before. I think this is more of a run-heavy game because, like you just said, an ideal game for the Ravens is ground and pound over, just beat your face in just over and over and over again to where your defense gets so tired by the third or fourth quarter. Then we start kind of just picking you apart with, you know, throwing the ball. I think, one, I like Gus Edwards. Anytime touchdown, just because he didn't score last week. I don't think he scored the week before. And all goal line runs pretty much go to him. And then I was saying before, I've made a lot of money off Isaiah Likely anytime touchdowns. But if Mark plays, the way the Ravens run, being at home, knowing how important and how loved Mark Andrews is by that whole team, that whole city, that whole arena, they know that if they can feed one to Mark, get him in the end zone, that's just the Ravens, the flock will go absolutely nuts. And it's not like he, you know, yeah, he's coming off an injury, but if he's going to be playing, he's going to be playing, I think. And I love the Mark Andrews anytime touchdown because they're going to be looking for him because they know how much that means to the team. That gets everybody going. Guy coming back from injury, puts up a touchdown. I think that's a sneaky one, which, what is it, plus yeah, plus 240.
240.
Yeah, I would sprinkle maybe just $5-10 on that because I think they know what him scoring does to that to our team's culture, our team's momentum, just all around attitude because he's probably the most loved guy other than Lamar on that team, and if they can get him in the end zone, man, oh, it's just everybody's gonna love it and they know that, so I like that one as well.
This is also just a fun game because we talked about it on the pod with Riesberg and Turner, but you know, the Ravens are celebrating the fact that they are, you know, they're Baltimore's team, right? And so they're going to have Ray Lewis and Ed Reed at the game. They're also going to have Michael Phelps in attendance. Mm-hmm. He is like the coin toss celebrity, however you want to refer to him. He's the game ball delivery guy, which is just hysterical. And then the honorary captain is Jonathan Ogden, who was just a stud for them for so long. Mm-hmm. They're going to have T-Pain performing at halftime. What song does T-Pain come out to?
Wait, is that a real thing?
It's not like, it's a real thing. Like, he's performing at halftime of this game.
See, I didn't.
But do you come out to buy you a drink? You know, that's not like a hype song. Like, what is it? Is he on All I Do Is Win?
Bartender, I didn't know that. I didn't know that he was performing. Hot take. This is almost just like this is a perfect pop off take. I listened to T-Pain's mashup with all his hits where he does like the acapella thing. Dude, T-Pain he's like a timeless talent. Like, he is an
unreal talent.
Like, performer. Like, you look at old guys, like, I mean, this is going to sound crazy, but you look at the old musicians like Elvis
and R. Kelly.
These guys.
Oh.
What do you even call it? Just true to their true nature performers. Yeah, Ralph's thinking about R. Kelly. Sure. Just, you know, throwing some substances and some drinks. T-Pain is that guy.
It is Baltimore.
Exactly. It wouldn't surprise me. Imagine that. R. Kelly performs at halftime. Everybody's just like so about it. All the white trash in Baltimore with their purple cargo pants just fucking loving it. But T-Pain at halftime, that is all, that guy is just a true like a generational talent. That's the word I'm saying. He like, cause you see the auto-tune and stuff. Then you hear his acapella stuff with, you're like, man, why did he even invent auto-tune? That guy is so good naturally. That's crazy that he's performing at half. But yeah, I don't know.
Well, we always talk about how like Kanye like invented the genre. Like Kanye invented Drake with 808s and Heartbreak.
Yeah.
T-Pain invented so many like singing rappers. Like there are so many guys. Like Jason Derulo just doesn't exist without T-Pain.
Yeah.
Like Akon like was around the same time, but you know what I mean.
All that auto-tune stuff. It's just everybody that...
I mean, he introduced Lil Wayne to autotune. And yeah. Lil Wayne was like one of the most influential rappers of all time because of that autotune. I love T-Pain, man. To this day, I wish that he would release some new music. I mean, he's way better than like the Ty Dolla $ign who kind of like took his role in rap. Like the guy that just features on every song that's on the radio for other rappers. T-Pain needs to get back in that bag. But yeah, R. Kelly... Wait, can you explain... what's the cargo pants phenomenon in Baltimore? What's that all about?
So there, yeah, it's actually a hilarious question. So there's just like, so it goes back to originally the NFL, this was like 2 or 3 years ago, dropped this clothing line. Every team had these butt ugly, it was their colors and their logos mixed to like these camo hoodies. Camo shorts, like this, it was disgusting. No one bought it, but I guess the Ravens sold out. Like everybody, like all the crazy motherfuckers in Baltimore and Maryland, like these white trash
They're
guys.
Like, finally,
like, yeah. So there's just a bunch of people with purple camo, like hoodies, hats, like cargo shorts, and then Stavvy, who's like kind of like the Ravens, like mascot. Oh, yeah. Who I love, funny
we love Stavros.
As, yeah, Stavvy, yep. Like just his stand up, his videos. That combined, he started talking about like all these fucking Ravens guys wearing these purple camo like cargo shorts. Like he was just kind of talking about it to where it became like an actual thing. Like people started wearing them, repping them, and they just kind of buy in to how ugly it is, how like kind of like white
how ratchet,
how
they
ratchet
are.
It is, how yeah. kind of like white trash it is. But then Baltimore, you also have these like, you know. Pretty hood guys, like pretty hood black guys, like just kind of in the city of Baltimore. It's not really a nice, like you don't go to Baltimore on vacation. Like it's not really the friendliest city. So they kind of mesh perfectly with all that over like the camo. And it just became this ongoing joke that all these Ravens fans just wear this ugly purple camo cargo shorts. Cause yeah, we're like the one team that like sold out like this dumb idea that the NFL had to like mix in camo. And yeah, 3 years later, it's like this running joke that people just fucking get behind and love. It's awesome.
I mean, they finally found some pants that had enough pockets to fit all their Jameson shooters in.
Literally.
And their pistols.
Dude, the last
so
time
that's
I
exciting
wore,
stuff for them.
Good little take. Last time I wore cargo shorts was my first year at ASU. Why? Because I'm a fucking idiot and I thought it was cool. And one of the lead like pledge, like the, like our like, you call it like pledge master. Was like, Cerrone, are those fucking cargo shorts? And I was like, yeah. Oh, and he was like, go into the fridge right now, take every stick of butter and fill your cargo pockets with as much butter as you can. And you're going to stand here and play die with us all day till it all melts. And I never wore cargo shorts after that. I might throw them back on. I might bring them back for the Ravens, a little purple camo cargo. But yeah, it's probably the worst clothing item you could wear. But yeah, Baltimore rocks with pride. We're fine with that.
Good. I'm happy for Baltimore fans keeping cargo pants alive and in business. Mm-hmm. All right, let's move to the other side of the ball. Chiefs offense versus the Ravens defense. Now, when I think about this matchup initially, I'd like to mention this metaphor again really quick because I've been using it all week, and I think that it's really applicable to this game specifically where – you know, I talked about it last weekend, and not to bring up my coaching career too much, but my fifth graders played against a few inferior opponents, and we scored a lot of points against them. Our offense looked very good. And then Sunday morning at 8 a.m., the morning after the night of my birthday celebration. I was hungover as hell. We played against a really good team at 8 a.m. and we got the doors blown off of us. Lost 63-21. So we lost by 42 points to a team that we just were not prepared to play against, a defense that we were not accustomed to because we had grown familiar with playing against inferior opponents. Now, fifth grade basketball is very different than professional football. But at the same time, I think that there is a philosophy that I can adopt for this game specifically where, you know, the Chiefs played against a Dolphins team that didn't have Bradley Chubb. They didn't have Jalen Phillips. Jalen Ramsey and Javon Holland didn't look like they wanted to be there. Jerome Baker was hurt. Everybody on that side of the ball. Vic Fangio is out as the defensive coordinator in Miami. You know, things were coming to a halt there. Like, they were relying on guys like Melvin Ingram to come in and bring pressure on the quarterback. That wasn't going to happen. Melvin Ingram is 37 years old, right? Yeah. Then they go into Buffalo, and Buffalo, I said it on the pod last week too, after that game, that crowd wasn't very loud. I thought they were going to be way more intense. And once again, they're missing Matt Milano and Tre'Davious White. And Epineza isn't the DN that, you know, some of these guys like Jadeveon Clowney is. And they just weren't applying the pressure that most teams can. Now you're running into a Ravens team that has been the best defense all year in the big three categories. Turnovers forced, sacks forced, and least amount of points per allowed. They're allowing 16 points per game. They allowed 10 points per game to a Houston Texans team that I think was averaging about 25 points per game for the season.
And one of those was special
teams. That's a 15-point difference. Well. One of them was a special teams touchdown, right? You've been talking about that all week. And I just think that I'm conflicted because it's like that all adds up in my mind. But there's still an element to them where it's Andy Reid and Mahomes, and they're going to figure it the fuck out somehow. Turner talked about it yesterday, too, where, you know, they came into the season, they thought Tony and Sky Moore were going to be their top two receivers. And then Rashee Rice just explodes out of nowhere. The kid's a stud. And my question for you is, what does Baltimore need to do? What's the recipe to fuck the Chiefs up early? Is it one of those... not flagrant hits, but a significant hit to Mahomes early. Is that the recipe that they follow? Because you've mentioned that in the past, and I don't disagree with that, man. This is fucking football. You're going to get hit. And he doesn't get hit that hard. And when he doesn't, like, he plays like a cocky son of a bitch. And that's the last thing you want, is for him to play like a cocky son of a bitch.
Yeah, that, and it's hilarious. I'm always a fan of the flagrant hits. That just goes back to, like, I remember playing basketball in high school, and my dad used to just tell me, like, hey, like, beginning of the game, like, you got five fouls. Like, if you're gonna begin the game, use one, make it a bad one. Like, like hit them hard, you know, take out the arms, like, just kind of make your presence known. But no, we don't gotta, you know, I would say decapitate Mahomes. I would say this, and yes, I'm worried about Mahomes and Andy Reid and Kelce, because them in the playoffs is just, they're dialed. They're just a different beast than where other teams play great in the regular season and then terrible in the postseason. The Chiefs just know exactly what to do in the postseason. They've been there so many times. I would say the biggest thing, I mean, listen, I haven't seen Queen and Smith play so well. I haven't seen the linebackers play that well since, like, Ray Lewis and all those guys. It's unbelievable how good they are. Roquan Smith is such a good leader. Just absolute. I think the key is just physicality. And then if you can, like we were talking about with Lamar not running and passing when the play deteriorates, if you can somehow keep Mahomes just within that pocket and within just not scrambling too much, you might even be able to leave a spy with one of those guys. If you can just be very, very, very physical to a soft Chiefs wide receiver core, and just not let Mahomes make those Mahomes crazy escape tackles, go outside the pocket, throw on third down where you think he's past the line of scrimmage, but the ball isn't, and he throws for 30 yards. I think that's a huge key to this game. You know, third and longs, third and sevens, third and eights, third and nines, they cannot convert those. And to be quite frank, I wouldn't rather have two other guys than Queen and Smith in the linebacker position to do that. I'm confident we can. I know Andy Reid knows about them. It's not like Andy Reid just forgot about the linebacker. He knows exactly, you know, what he's walking into. But I mean, man, I wouldn't trust any other two guys than those two guys. I mean, and I've heard Roquan, you know, he's like the second coming of Ray Lewis. It's insane. His pregame speeches, people play for him, people rally around him. He is a true leader when it comes to that defense, to where other teams don't have that. And that motherfucker is like, you see that guy, like, you know. Ravens swarm to the ball really well. Usually when you get tackled by us, it's by two, three, four guys.
Yep.
And I don't
The
care if
least amount of
Roquan's.
yards allowed after contact in the league. Remember that Niners game? The Niners had the most yards after contact in the league, and then they
Because you
ran
got
into the Ravens and they were like, "Wait, we're not breaking any tackles. We're fucked."
literally, because you got Roquan, who's 10, 15 yards on the other side of the field, worried about maybe a tight end, but it's an outside pitch to the running back. Somehow that guy, and like Ray Lewis used to say it, and I have this quote, fucking, you know, written, it's effort is between you and you. It's just pure effort because he's running
Yep.
from 10, 12, 15 yards. And yes, on 9 of those 10 plays, doesn't really matter because he's going to go down anyways. But then there's that one play where Roquan gets him by the shoelaces. And he saves a third down. He saves an extra 10 yards, gets us the ball back, and then we go down scores. Just little plays like that. It's just the effort and the belief. We talked about in the podcast before. Every guy in that defense just cares so much to do their job and play for, you know, our team, our coach, to play for Roquan. You know, if the captain's given that much energy and effort and just dog mentality, you have no choice but to follow suit and do that. And yeah, just pure phys I would say pure physicality, and just make sure Mahomes doesn't make those crazy, silly plays that just, you know, escape and tackle, spinning around, just those kind of fluke plays where those are the ones that go for 20, 30 yards and just kill the
And those
momentum.
are the most frustrating ones because you're
Oh, it's
like, he
brutal.
doesn't
Because
look
he
that
should have been
athletic.
down
Like,
and
why can't anybody get him? And
he's shifty.
that's the thing about him. It always happens, and
It does.
especially this time of year. But I think that if there is a team, like we talked about with that Niners game, you know, they can wrap him up. And it's not just Roquan and Queen. It's Marcus Williams. It's Kyle Hamilton. It's Marlon Humphrey.
Yep.
It's
Geno
Ronald Darby. Everybody
Stone.
can tackle.
Yeah.
Another Hawk in the NFL. Go Hawks.
Yep.
But then the D line too, Matabuke and Clowney
Clowney,
applying
yeah.
pressure on the outside. They just got
So
studs across the
good.
board.
Yeah, Clowney, and that's like such an underrated part of when we signed Clowney this year. It was almost like a very like under the rug, like no one wanted him, almost like no one wanted Lamar.
Dude, he's wearing number 24 right now. Like, what the
Yeah,
fuck?
dude, he is a
He signed like a
dog.
month before training camp. Yeah, he's been insane.
Just and people forget about Clowney. And yes, I'll be honest with you, he didn't, you know, he's kind of he hasn't really performed the past couple of years, but this year. And like I, you know, going even back to this full circle, I'm so grateful to be a fan of a team that just has outstanding culture. You put a guy like Clowney, who's a vet, who's been there, done that statistically on a team that has just that fucking dog mentality, that dog culture. It just raises his style of play. And he's not playing on a dog shit team just for a paycheck now. He's playing for a ring now, and he's motivated. And yeah, he has so far outdone expectations this whole season. It's unbelievable, man. He's such a sneaky little piece to that defense. It's crazy.
Kyle Van Noy too, a guy who has been in
Benoit,
Super Bowls
dog,
before, the
huge
Patriots,
tackle
an
against the
absolute
Texans.
stud. I did want to mention one player on the Chiefs defense that we neglected, and that is Legarius Sneed, one of the best corners in the league. Gave up his first touchdown of the year last week against the
Really?
Bills
That's
on kind of a
crazy.
broken play. He's insane. So I just wanted to shout him out really quick.
Yep.
My biggest thing is that we haven't mentioned the other coordinator for the Ravens, and that's Mike McDonald, who is their DC. I mean, I think he's been interviewing with teams. I think they've been doing a really good job, and Harbaugh does a good job of this, of not letting that be a distraction, right? I think he interviewed with teams. I don't know if you're allowed to during conference championship week. I think if you're going to, it has to be wild card week. So these guys are locked in, and they want to win a Super Bowl so desperately. Not that, you know, all coaches don't, but especially if they do have their eyes set on potential head coaching jobs. And there have been a couple of head coaching jobs that have been snatched up. Atlanta, no longer available.
I
Raheem
know.
Morris is going there now over Belichick, which was
I
crazy.
know.
Like, we should have probably talked about
God.
that towards the front. But we got another game that we got to talk about. Before we do, I think we should just say, you know, I have the Ravens 5 units on them to win between one by between 1 and 13 points. It's plus 190 right now that you can get that at. And you had a similar bet.
Yeah, I threw on the same bet. It was probably, I think it was plus like 400 or 450, but it was for them to win from 7 to 13. Which, listen, I'm feeling very confident. I think 3.5, that line is very disrespectful. I think us being at home, you saw against the Texans how unbelievable that place is to play in as an opponent. And it's going to be even more rocking because obviously it's just, you know, the AFC Championship, it's just a higher stakes game. You got Kelce's there, you got Taylor Swift there, you got so much more going on. But I really think that we really beat this team down. And not saying we win by, you know, 17 or 20. But I think I also put a decent amount on Ravens minus 9.5. I think we win this game by right around 10 points. Cause I just think, this is finally where the Chiefs, you know, kind of die off. They've made a crazy run, but, they got the Mahomes and you read magic, but I think it just gets outlasted, by us and we play on all cylinders. I think we'll easily cover that 3.5. And like you said, a little bit more, I'm confident with.
Okay, moving into the NFC game, but first, let's take a quick break. All right, so we're looking at the Lions in San Francisco against the Niners. The Niners are favored by 7 points against the Lions. They're minus 360 money line. You could buy the Detroit Lions at money line for plus 290, and the over-under is at 51.5. The big headline going into this game, Deebo Samuel, return to practice today. Looks like he might play. It could be unlimited snaps, though. Now, okay. I'm wondering, what the fuck are you saving him for? It's the NFC Championship game. You know, you're in a position, if you're the Niners, where a year ago to this day, you played against the Eagles and you didn't have another quarterback on the roster after Brock Purdy. And so you were shit out of luck after he got hurt, right? You can't fuck this up, okay? Detroit's amazing. I love them. They've been so fun to watch this year. But if you just look at 1 through 53, San Francisco is clearly the more talented team. If Shanahan can't win this game, I might have to label him a fraud because you are a 7-point favorite at home. You clearly have the more talented team, and you kind of looked like shit against the Packers. I'm not sure they should have won that game, especially a week removed from it. I keep thinking about it. After Deebo went out and we talked about it, their receivers just don't get as open in the playoffs. The Shanahan scheme gets diluted quite a bit where – you know, now you're depending on Chris Conley and Jawan Jennings, and it's not Ayuk, Deebo, CMC, and Kittle. You don't look like you have the best skill position group in the league. So is that fair to say that, you know, Shanahan, if he comes out with an L in this game and Campbell overcomes him, is he a fraud? Are we overrating him? Because so often people are referring to him as the best coach in the league.
I think that's very fair to say. A lot of pressure on San Fran. They know that, you know, Detroit loves being the underdog. You know, who kind of doesn't, but no one loves it more than Detroit. And I think very similar to Mark Andrews, you got to play Deebo, even if he's not ready to play, even if he's not exactly healthy to go out there and catch morphine. Passes.
Give him some fucking morphine.
Exactly. Make sure no one knows because you need Detroit to read that headline saying Deebo Samuel active for tonight's game because you know that just affects them. It 100% does. It affects their schemes, their coverages, and it's someone who you simply can't just ignore. So he has to be out there. And you're right, why would why are you saving him? I think it's his shoulder, but you have to be out there even if no one – but the 49ers coaching staff knows that he's not going to be able to catch a pass, but you need him out there as a decoy.
Think about how much better he makes McCaffrey because a lot of the times McCaffrey and Deebo, you know, Deebo's not catching 45-yard bombs. He's not a go ball receiver. Where he does his most damage is across the middle, and he's running these under routes, these drag routes, right? And so if you have McCaffrey sweeping out to the left on a little circle route, and then you have Deebo going towards the right, then the defense is all fucked up. They're like, oh, we have two guys who are brilliant after the catch, not even including Kittle, who's also really good after the catch. And when one of them is out, the other one is just not nearly as effective. I think they're honestly like 50% as effective without the other one.
Yeah, it spreads the defense way, way out. They need – that's another guy who I think – I mean, he's got to fucking play. It was very weird watching – him on the sideline because it looked like he wasn't even in that much pain, but he just wasn't getting out there. And then shout out to Jennings because he made a couple of like unbelievable catches in that game against the Packers, like stepped up big time because Ayuk really wasn't that much of a, you know, he was catching balls, but he wasn't like an insane threat. And then you have that touchdown to Kittle, what I'm saying is I don't think he does that again if Debo can't play. You need him. You just need him to be out there. Seriously.
Well, he's a different kind of receiver than Debo. Like we talked about, Debo is a running back at the receiver position, where Juwan Jennings is your traditional possession receiver.
Wide receiver,
you know, you throw him a tight ball, he can get it, but he's not going to get you 15 yards after the catch, which is what makes the Niners so dangerous. And we've just kind of limped into talking about their offense first against this Lions defense. The Lions defense is... it has some holes in it. I mean, I can't name – I follow the NFL just as closely as anybody else I know. I can't name all 11 of their starters, and I feel like I can name at least 9 or 10 of starters on every defense in the league. And I'm looking at them. You know, that secondary, it's
a little shaky.
It's not the best. It's not the most polished. It's – you know, they've, like, ranked in the bottom half of the league in every defensive statistical category the entire season. They're really depending on Aiden Hutchinson. I would be shocked if Aiden Hutchinson ever lined up alongside Trent Williams. And if he does, this is just like a theoretical question, not even theoretical question, but a practical question. When you watch football, do you only have eyes on the quarterback, or do you ever, you know, on one snap, just like, I'm going to watch this receiver cornerback matchup, I'm going to watch this left tackle DN matchup. How do you watch football?
That's actually a really good question. I do. Like occasionally, because if I know, I watch what player I think is going to get the ball. So like when I'm watching a Ravens game and it's third and, you know, five or something, I'm pretty much eyes on Likely. I'm eyes on Andrews. I'm seeing what he's doing. Yeah, I'm going to watch Lamar. I'll occasionally watch the O and D line kind of go at it and see where the linebackers are. Because I like to see that too, you know, just to switch it up. But yeah, I usually watch where, you know, when you're watching your team, you know what your team does. I'm looking at to see where, because I think I know where they're going with it, and I'll try to, you know, watch that. But yeah, it's a good point.
I think that basketball, it's just so much easier to see. I mean, there's only 10 guys to watch instead of 22, right? So it's just, and the camera angle, you can see all 10 guys.
Yeah.
Where sometimes when you're watching football, you're like, what the fuck is going on 35 yards down the field? I'm not going to be able to see it until the replay. Yeah, you're like, oh, wait, all right, is he going to be wide open?
Yeah,
is there a coverage bust?
Exactly.
And then you're like, oh, shit, there's two guys back there ready to go pick this ball off. No, I think this is just a fascinating matchup between this offense and this defense, because all year long, we consider Detroit to be one of the worst defenses in the league, and San Francisco, if not the best offense in the league, then, you know, one of the top three or four, right?
Yeah.
And then you look at last week's game, and it's like Detroit's defense held up pretty well against a Tampa offense that was cooking, and San Francisco's offense didn't look as brilliant as it has in the past. It's like, I thought it was going to be unstoppable force against a certainly movable object, where now it's moved in this territory where it's like, you know, it's Brock Purdy playing quarterback, man. It's not Lamar or Mahomes. Like, they are stoppable.
Yeah.
And that's just not the idea that I had about them, let's say week 6 or week 7 of the regular season.
Yeah, I think, and I've talked about this before too, Detroit pretty much always banks on just outscoring the other team.
Sure.
They are, it could very well be a lot of points, but they're usually – yeah, they're out, like, even with the Bucs. I mean, the Bucs kind of – Baker kind of picked them apart. And Baker isn't, you know, he's not a Hall of Famer. You got Mike Evans out there. You got some, you know, you got
not
Godwin.
Yet, dog.
Maybe. You never know. They picked apart that line. I mean, Baker was going down there scoring over and over and over again. And, Detroit is banking on just – just kind of straight up outscoring the other team. I know when the Ravens played Detroit, I mean, we smoked them. They couldn't score at all, and they got dragged. And their defense really couldn't stop us at all. So they're banking on playing from ahead. They're banking on, yeah, just kind of outscoring those guys. And yeah, Detroit, yeah, doesn't look, I mean, they could very well get torn apart by all the pieces on, San Fran's offense. But yeah, you're right. I don't really know too many players in Detroit. There's not like those crazy dog other than, Aiden Hutchinson. But yeah, it's gonna be, and it's in San Fran. A lot of those, a lot of young guys on Detroit's offense who haven't been there before. You got, Goff, who's been, he's obviously been to the big game and he's kind of a veteran, but yeah, they're very reliant on them scoring a lot of points. I'll say that.
Two lines that I really like in this game. I think that San Francisco does a good job of taking away your number one option pretty well with
Yeah.
Charvarius Ward, who is an all-pro corner. I think he'll probably be blanketing Amon-Ra, following him around. Not saying that he's going to stop Amon-Ra by any means because he's a very talented receiver. But Goff has proved time and time again that he really, really likes and has terrific chemistry with Josh Reynolds, a guy that he played with on the Rams.
Yep.
His over-under for yards is 36 and a half. And then Jameson Williams. This is a kid that we've talked about a little
I
bit, one
know.
of Bordy's favorite receivers in the league. A kid out of Alabama, second year player, first round draft pick, one of the five fastest receivers in the league, north and south. His over under is set at 28 and a half yards. I'm not sure what his longest reception is set at, but whatever it is, only 15 and a half. I'm taking the over on that. I
Yeah, I like
fucking
that a lot.
love that because I think that he, if you look at San Francisco secondary, that Ambry Thomas kid, he got burnt twice last week on defensive PIs. I think that he has a better
Yeah.
concentration on not getting those PIs and is maybe a little bit less aggressive on the catch. And I could see him matched up with Jameson Williams. I wish that I could
It's
buy
a
an
good
alternate
nugget.
line on this one because I think that Jameson Williams,
Yeah.
man, I think that this could be his comeout game. I really do. I think he's a stud. I think that he's just like, he's like a science experiment where, you have the little casket or whatever the fuck, the little beaker of things, and then you just like pour in that shit and it fucking explodes. He's just waiting to
You're right.
explode, man. And I love the kid. So I could see him having a 60, 70-yard game.
Yeah, and he also to where because Goff finds Reynolds in the end zone a lot, to where
Yes.
Jamison, he's not he doesn't score as much, but he's getting the chunk plays.
Sure.
Almost like D-Hop used to be. Like D-Hop used to just get these like 50, 60-yard receptions. Never really used to score. Never really used to be in the end zone. But he would just get these big chunk plays, which is, I feel like, yeah, with Williams, that's him. And then he does find Reynolds in the end zone a decent amount. And then Laporta obviously is, oh, that guy fucking lives in the end zone. But yeah, I like that. That's also very low to, for a
The
team that knows they need to
Laporta.
sling it.
The Laporta line makes me nervous, and it's because, Hufanga, terrific safety, and Fred Warner. We talked a lot about Roquan when we were
He's a
talking about the
dog.
Ravens and
Yeah,
Chiefs.
Fred Warner's a fucking.
If Fred Warner isn't the best linebacker in the league, then Roquan is, and if Roquan isn't the best linebacker in the league, then Fred Warner is, and
That's
he's
true.
terrific in pass coverage. So, I'm curious if he might be used to these Iowa tight ends, man, because he's matched up against Kittle all the time in practice.
Yeah.
He might be picking Kittle's brain a little bit, like what does Laporta like to do? Like what is it that
Yeah.
makes him so good, and how can I stop him?
And you know San Fran in that defensive locker room. Is I mean they know Laporta has just torn apart teams all season. They know it's going to be a huge focus for Goff. And you're right, Fred Warner is yeah, he's just like that guy. Probably the scare, maybe even more scary than Roquan. Like that guy just plays just like Roquan, but just tenacity, just fucking physicality, speed, never giving up on the play. Yeah, you see Fred Warner run from just the other side of the hashes to somehow make a tackle where he could have so easily just jogged or just given up on the play, but just
Yeah, right.
leaves everything on the fucking field and somehow he just flies over and tackles someone on a crucial down. But yeah, Laporte, they're just gonna have all eyes on that kid because they know how he's just been on fucking fire. All season, especially the past games.
I'm taking a look at these passing props right now. I'm not sure if you can see it.
Here, yeah, 255. Block it from your mind. Block
it. Okay, you did. All right. I was going to ask you who you think had the higher passing yards line. I think I'm actually kind of shocked to find out that Brock Purdy is over under 274.5. Goff's only 255.5. Love Purdy. You know, he's an Iowa guy or from Arizona, but went to Iowa State. So we accept him. We're rooting for him in a lot of ways. Jared Goff's a better quarterback than him. Like, he's been so good all year with less talent. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's been in this position before. And Purdy was in this position last year, but he ended up getting hurt. So I'm curious, you're going into this game, you're the owner of a franchise, and you get to pick one of these two quarterbacks. Is it, I'm picking Goff. Are you with me or are you going with somebody else?
You're saying,
and by somebody else, I'm saying Purdy or Sam Darnold.
you're saying the teams, like the players around them, are like just straight up picking Goff or Purdy, like nothing to do with their teams? Yeah, yeah, I would take Goff.
You?
I would take Goff. He's been to the Super Bowl. He's been there. He's done that. He's a lot older. He's just, I feel like, more mature. Like he seems just a little bit more composed to where, I mean, you saw
Purdy how rattled, man.
I mean, look at Purdy against the Ravens. I've never seen a quarterback more exposed. He just got rattled and exposed. And, you can kind of see a little bit of his age shine through, his inexperience shine through. To where Goff, I mean, that motherfucker never frowns, never smiles. He's just like stone cold, just kind of like, you know, like, through a pick, whatever. The next play is the most important, just kind of getting through it. I would trust Goff for sure a little bit more, especially this deep into the, you know, NFC Championship for sure.
Let's do this one too then. We just did the quarterbacks. Let's do the head coaches. Would you rather have Shanahan or Dan Campbell going into this game?
I'd rather have... I would love to like if there was one coach.
You know what it is? It's like it's like, have you seen the meme of the two people on a bus and they're the same people, and one guy is like looking out the window and he's smiling.
Other
guy's seated across the aisle and he's just so sad.
I know.
And it's like analytics nerd who's like down and frowning, and then just the macho man. That's essentially what this is, right? It's Dan Campbell, who's pure vibes. Definitely like a smarter coach than we give him credit for. But then Shanahan, who honestly, I watch him on the sidelines and sometimes I'm like, vibes are down over there, man. Like, he looks like he's just disappointed in his players, where Campbell's just like celebrating every little fucking achievement.
Yeah.
Shanahan never really gets that excited.
No, you're right. I'll say this personally, like, as you know, Mike Cerrone would rather play for Dan Campbell.
For Dan Campbell.
Just because that would be fucking... It would just be awesome. Like, you just have fucking...
That pregame speech is lit.
Yeah, like, you're just like, you got this guy that's just an absolute lunatic. But to have on my team, dude, the schemes and the plays and the pre-snap movement, like, because you've heard, I've listened to interviews about players talk about it. But, dude, what he cooks up pre-snap and all this shit, like, I guess if you're playing the 49ers, you have no fucking idea where that ball is going to go, what direction, whether it's going to be deep, whether it's going to be, you know, parallel. There's three guys moving. You got so many weapons.
Runner pass.
Yeah, literally. And you can't – and it seems, you know, we all play Madden. We all see the playbook. But, that motherfucker is almost just like a little general, just drawn out like fucking – you know, it's almost like they're drawn up.
Dude, Madden can't even keep up with his plays. Like, I play Madden all the time, and they have these things called, they have NFL live playbooks, right? They haven't done shit for the pre-snap motion. There's like three plays in their playbook with the pre-snap motion. I watch them play, and they run pre-snap motion like 84% of the time. It's every fucking snap they're doing pre-snap motion.
It's insane, because when you have that many guys on the same play and that can just actually do it without, you know, committing false starts – dude, the defense the whole time is on their heels. They're just trying to figure out what and then next thing you know, the ball snaps.
Their fucking fullback is the best fullback in the league, and he went to Harvard.
Yeah.
Like, Kyle Juszczyk is a dog.
That guy's such – I love that guy too. I love fullbacks like that, because the Ravens always have
– Patrick Ricard.
Yeah, dude.
We haven't talked about Patrick Ricard at all. Former D tackle.
I know. He caught a little tutty a couple weeks ago too. When you have – and those are just culture guys too, because you just – it's the same thing when we're talking about Mark Andrews' touchdown. When he caught that touchdown, like, the stadium just like, because it's just not a guy that – it's just a guy that so deserves it but who never gets it. But yeah, the stuff that Shanahan cooks up, man. And those are the things that I watch too. Like when you're, you know, because I was so nervous the Ravens playing the 49ers, because they're just so shifty. And yeah, it's something that you can only do if everybody's on the same page and knows what they're doing. Because it's you could so easily fuck it up. And they run that shit just to perfection, to where Dan Campbell, you know, you're gonna play for, you're gonna run through a wall for Dan Campbell, but like you're just gonna be on a different level with Shanahan. I mean, both sides of the ball just everywhere.
We haven't talked about him enough, I don't think, but this could be the Christian McCaffrey game. I am going to build together a parlay. I'm not saying that I'm going to take it. I'm just going to put it out there for the people because the Lions run defense, it's shaky. We'll say that much. It's not as bad as their pass defense. It's a little bit better actually, but I think that McCaffrey and you know what's crazy about the Niners
Choosing up.
is we have looked at the Niners as a running back by committee team the last few years since before they got McCaffrey. It was like Elijah Mitchell, Raheem Mostert. You never knew who they were going to hand it
Mozart
off
was
to, who was going to
so.
be
There
in.
was one. Was it last year that Mozart
It
tore apart
was
the
2 years ago.
Packers?
It was Packers. Yeah, it was insane. Like 280 yards or whatever the fuck. It was insane.
Insane.
But ever since they got McCaffrey, he's playing like fucking every single snap. If it's not him, then it's Juszczyk back there to pass block. You know that he's not going to get the touch, or it's Debo in the backfield. If you want to take McCaffrey, his over-under is at 86.5 yards right now. Let's just say we'll take that. And then let's take him 2+ touchdowns. Let's see what that'll give us. That's +222. I don't hate that at
That's
all because I
crazy.
think that once they get down to the goal line, they're kind of going to be in a position where they're like, let's not just fuck around. Let's just give it to McCaffrey, run behind Trent Williams,
You could
and
just
it'll
give
be
it
a
to
day. That's 14
McCaffrey.
points on the board.
Yeah, if you're the 49ers and you're in an in goal situation, again, I mean, I say this with Gus Edwards all the time too, but if you just very simply run it with McCaffrey 4 times,
He's going to get
I
in.
mean, dude, he's just gonna get in. Like I said that with the Raven, like if you just run Gus up the middle 4 times from the four, like it's gonna happen. Like it's just, and yeah, it's the same thing with McCaffrey, more of a little flash. You know, where Gus is like a just like a absolute bust. But yeah, I like McCaffrey. And then something I've been making money on all year too is I mean, we'll talk about him, but Jahmyr Gibbs, not rushing yards, but just scrimmage yards. To where, I mean, we've talked about it because he's just catching so many balls. There's so many yards after the catch. He's also running it. And I think we talked about it in the previous podcast to where they didn't use their plan is kind of coming to fruition where they didn't use him a ton at the beginning of the season, catch a lot of flack. You know, people are pissed off. It's mostly from like just motherfuckers playing fantasy.
Fantasy
So,
managers.
exactly. Just like, why aren't we feeding them? To where right now this guy's on fire. And as good as Amon-Ra is, as good as Laporta is, as much of, you know, earlier in the season, Montgomery was a touchdown machine. The offense kind of runs through Gibbs.
He's the
And
most
at
talented guy with a ball in his hands. Like
Yeah.
we talked about it with Bordy. He's fast Kamara. Like he's just a faster version of Alvin Kamara. And if you like his scrimmage yard Cerrone, over under is set at 73.5. I love that. I absolutely love that.
I love that because and he's just bound to he's gonna have a play over 20. Whether it's a screen pass, whether it's a pitch, whether it's just a straight run. I mean, you saw it against the fucking Jesus Christ, who did the Lions just play? Because Gibbs,
The
oh the
Buccaneers.
Bucs. It was a very close game. It was like tied, and Gibbs had like a 34-yard run, just right up the gut, just had the better angle on the safety, and cribbed it. Because yeah, once you get him in space, he's the fastest guy in the field. And yeah, I love over. I mean, yeah, it's I love that over 70.5 just scrimmage yards. But yeah, it's gonna be a very. That's gonna be almost. I don't even know what game's more. I mean, obviously the Ravens is more exciting for me because I'm a fan. But the amount of weapons offensively on that field between the Niners and the Lions, I'm just
That was a
so
point I wanted to
excited
make.
that
It's
these two
totally
teams
different.
are.
It's like the Chiefs and the Ravens got there because of the quarterbacks. They got there because of Mahomes and because of Lamar.
Yeah, it's the
And I think that
flop.
the
It's
Lions and the
flip-flopped.
Niners got there because of everything else. It's the
Literally.
defense, it's the culture of those two teams, and it's the skill position players. playing, you know, better than anybody else. And that's like, if you give Lamar the Lions offense and Mahomes the Niners offense or vice versa, it's just going
to
be like,
if you just put Goff, if you were to put Goff on the 49ers, I mean, we could have the whole conversation of Purdy being just assistant quarterback, but you know, he's talented. He is, he's got, you don't get this far by accident, but yeah, you put someone like Goff or someone on the 49ers, I think they're just, I mean, almost like that much better, just because, yeah, just the experience and, you know, the composure. But yeah, dude, there's just so many, it's going to be an exciting game. Like, it's just going to be a great, I'm so glad that these two teams, like if the Packers won that game, it was like a weird spoof and it was Lions Pack, like it just wouldn't have been the same. Like, this is truly like Clash of the Titans, just these four teams left just going for that fucking ring, man. And I don't think there could have been two better AFC two better championship games than these four teams. Maybe if the Bills snuck in, but God, man, just give me a good game. It's going to be fucking, this is why we watch football, man. These last two games, these championships, all these players fucking balling out, just high stakes. It's the best time of the year. It really is. And it's fucking going to be so sad.
We've danced around it, though. We gotta make a pick here in this game. Niners are favored by 7. Lions are plus 7. Lions are plus 290 money line. Over under 51.5. What do you like the most? You got to pick one of them.
I like...
Yeah, it's tough.
I honestly like...
Do it.
I'll take Detroit with the points. And I really think... I just think...
Do you think they can win this game? I listen to Bill Simmons all the time, and he says, never pick the underdog unless you actually think that they can win the game. Do you think Detroit, like, is there a world, do you see it where Detroit actually wins this game?
100%. I think there is a chance they win this game. This is what Dan Campbell has wet dreams of. Going into an NFC championship, a 7-point underdog. I bet you, if you ask Dan Campbell, he'd rather be an underdog than he'd every single time he'd rather be the underdog, just because that's he is. That's who his team is. There's so much pride in this team. America is kind of, you know, all rooting for Detroit. You got Eminem, you got all these guys coming out to the games. There is a decent chance.
Yeah, Big Sean. You got Jack Harlow in the mix. Dude, you got Ashley from Detroit.
Literally,
it's a whole mix of people.
Ashley's gonna be there, showing her tits, everything. I mean, it's gonna be a showdown. The same with in NFL, man. It's in this season especially. It's any given Sunday. With that much talent on Detroit's offense, I think it's very possible. And then, I would pick Detroit with the points, plus 7. And then I think the over, the over at 50, I really like that too, because again, Detroit's going to have to outscore them to win. They're going to be taking shots. And then there's no way the 49ers lay another dud. I mean, what are the 49ers only going to score 14? No, with that much talent on their offense – and Detroit's defense being shaky, I think they could very easily, like a 31-24 or like a 28-24. I mean, there's got to be a lot of points to where the Chiefs and the Ravens might very well go under just because of the defenses, to where this is just going to be – these are just two heavily, heavily offensive teams. I mean, there's got to be points, and it's just
Green Bay
so
moved the ball in San Francisco all week, and Detroit has a better offense than Green Bay.
Bay
was cooking, but you know, they don't have Amon-Ra, and Aaron Jones is great, and Musgrave is solid, but they're not Laporta, they're not Amon-Ra, they don't even have a receiver on Green Bay that I think is as talented as Jameson Williams. Seriously,
no,
they're good receivers, but you put Jameson Williams in LaFleur's offense, and he's going to be cooking.
Yeah.
51.5 is fascinating because, yeah, you think about it in terms of what's the score. We got to do that too. You got to give me the exact score of this game.
Okay.
We took 28-24 last week. We were 4 points off. It was 31-23 in the Detroit-Tampa game. Give me an exact score on this one.
Give me 28, and I have to pick the winner. Oh fuck! Give me. I almost like that again. I really like a 28-21, or 28-24 sounds really good too, because I could so see Detroit just needing a touchdown at the end. What is because 20 would 28-21 hit the over? It wouldn't, right? Or
It would not.
it
That'd be
would not
49. 28-24
get.
does hit the over, and that's plus
Yeah,
22,000.
let me double down with that. Let me say, yeah, give me 28-24 again. We came very close last time. Let me I really like in 28-24. That would hit the over.
instead
Am
of
I
it being
correct?
instead of being three tu instead of being three touchdowns and a field goal for the Lions, it's gonna be Dan Campbell going for it on two,
Dude,
going for
that's literally
two
what I was
three different
thinking about.
times.
Because I was like, he's probably, yeah, it's just three. Yeah, it's just 8 points three times. Because he's probably going to be going for two, and like, and if you're not going to get it, if you're going to get it, but yeah, we'll do that. I'll sprinkle $5 on 28-24. Yeah, I think that's just they get just out edge. They cover the spread, the over hits, and the Ravens play the 49ers for a rematch of a lifetime on Super Bowl night. I like that a lot.
Can't wait. Gonna be fun. I'm not sure if you saw the leak, quote unquote, but somebody
Oh, I
leaked
did see
that
that on the news thing.
Usher and whoever the fuck else are going to be performing at the Super Bowl match between the Ravens and the
I
49ers.
think that's a
They
very
put
true
that.
leak. I love that leak. I really do. That's a leak I can get behind. As long as
I mean, I
the
saw that and I immediately took both of the team's money line, massive units,
Yeah.
20 units on it.
I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that leak. I would love that. Yeah, it's weird. I feel like that happens. Don't you see that every year though? You see some like crummy screenshot of some guy like in Mississippi, like, oh, like the local like Channel 6 news like leaked that like the Ravens are gonna, you know what I'm saying? I feel
Well,
like that
and there's
happens
the
every year.
logo theory
I know, I
too, that the
saw
last
that
two
too.
Super Bowls have had the logo colors. But you know what my favorites are? It's not either of those. It's the person that tweeted in 2009, the
Oh,
Ravens
I
and the
did.
49ers are going to play in the Super Bowl, not once, but twice. And the 2 years will be 2012 and 2024.
Yeah.
And it's just
Well,
like those are my favorite
that
ones.
guy
I
is
love
just
those.
very simply a time traveler. There's no other explanation. That guy has been
With 17
through,
followers on Twitter.
yeah, just he's, I mean, bro, if I was a time traveler, I wouldn't want that many followers on Twitter. I'd want a couple, you know,
I'd just be
17,
making
18.
picks. Yeah.
I would just
That's
quietly be
it.
sprinkling on picks all day. But yeah, I also I wonder, because you were looking at the squares, what is the number just to pick Ravens 49ers for a Super Bowl? I feel like that's a very it's got to be a ve that's a very safe bet, you would think. And it's got to be
Yeah, I
plus
have it like at
something,
minus.
right?
If you just take them both money line, no, it was like minus 109 is what I got it at. Yeah, I got it
Okay.
at minus 109. Now it's minus 111. And
Yeah.
yeah, I put good amount of money
Yeah,
in it,
that's also
so it better
very
fucking
just
happen.
a yeah, just a safe bet. Yeah, that's oh my God, I would love that. Yeah, I think I'm just fucking pumped to watch these games. And like we've talked about before, man, it's the worst Monday of the year is actually not Super Bowl Monday.
It's
The
coming
worst
up.
Monday of the year is the Monday after the championship games. Just because the Super Bowl is just, you know, it's 2 weeks away. It's almost like this party. It's almost, you know, I'll be in Scottsdale and waste
Yep.
management. It's almost like this not even real game. It's almost like a concert almost. Like it just seems like fake. And the Monday after that, you just realize, I mean, usually your team's out of it. Knock on wood, the Ravens won't be. But yeah, man, then it's kind of that just anti-football depression. You still got others, you got March Madness, you got NBA Finals, playoffs. But yeah, man, I'm thankful that we have these two games to watch. The schedule is cleared for Sunday. I can't fucking wait to see these guys go at it, man. It's gonna be good. It really should be. Hoping for two good games, just two fucking good
You're
games, no
either going to
blowouts.
be really happy on the Sunday night pod or really sad.
Oh,
And
yeah.
I'm excited either way because it's going to be fun for me. But yeah, rooting for the Ravens, obviously rooting for the Niners so they can win. But wouldn't be upset if the Lions won. If the Chiefs win, I'm going to be, oh my God, I'm not going to be able to stand Turner and
I
Reesburg
just can't
or
see,
any of my
yeah.
friends.
The, and
It's
like
going to be a
and the
fucking
fucked up
nightmare.
thing too is if like If the Chiefs somehow find a way to beat my fucking Ravens, man, they're gonna win. They're not gonna lose a Super Bowl. That's the thing, too. He's gonna get a third ring because, and again, it just goes back to we'll have the same conversation next week to where they don't have the talent. It's not the same Chiefs, but they just, and why wouldn't they just get it done again? You know what I'm saying? So this is the time to put the dagger through Mahomes and Andy Reid. Great season. You know, you shouldn't even been in the AFC Championship, but this is, you know, turning the page of this dynasty. And for Christ's sake, man, it's Baltimore's year. This is this isn't now or never, but this is, I mean, really, man, it's ours to lose at this point. And I think we can very easily, I mean, bro, we beat the Lions. I think it was, I realistically, this is going to sound fake, I think it was 34-3. And then we beat the 49ers, yep. I think by 16, 17 points on Christmas. Maybe there's a garbage time touchdown. The only chance they had, and I've talked about this a million times, the only chance they had was the ref tripped Lamar. It was the only chance they fucking had, which is unbelievable. That ref is actually reffing our game this Sunday, which terrifies me. I think if the Ravens – I think the Super Bowl winner will come out of the AFC. I'll say that.
Petey said that too. And yeah, I don't disagree. But you know what? We'll see. Lots of good games this weekend. 2 o'clock AFC, 5:30 and NFC. I'm running out of words to say. Third pod of the week for us. So this has been great. Thank you, Cerrone. I love you. Good luck. Go flock. Hopefully we get some Kodak shots. Fuck Taylor Swift. Fuck Travis Kelce. Fuck Andy Reid's cheeseburger eating fat ass. Fuck Patrick Mahomes with his Kermit the Frog and ugly having wife ass. Fuck them all, man. Let's go.
Free Kodak.
Let's ride. Thank you guys for listening. We appreciate you. We will see you Monday morning reacting to these games. Have a great weekend. We love you. Peace out.